My name is Naomi Porter. I'm age 13. Today is June 8th, 2018, and I'm speaking with Gene Dunn. We are recording this in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Okay, first question. Tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Okay. Well, I was born in London, England, right before the war. That's the Second World War. Not the First World War. Christened in a little Presbyterian church in London, and that's important for later on, okay? The war then started, 1939. My family, who was from Scotland, went up to Scotland with me at 9 months to Scotland. We lived in Scotland through the war, and I started school in Scotland, so I can speak Scottish at the drop of a hat if you want me to, okay? Anyway, in 1947, we came down to London again, and we lived in a prefab. And the prefabs were temporary housing. They lasted for years. I was actually married from this one. they were built on bombed sites in London in 1947. We moved in, and there was a school across the road that had been flattened, and we were across the road in our little prefab, which was like heaven to us. And England at that time was very dark from smoke, the bombing. Everything was kind of dark, you know. And anyway, so that was sort of my childhood, really, you know.
Yeah. What toys did you play with?
Well, I don't remember playing much with toys. Before I was four, when I was little, I had a teddy bear, a fluffy teddy bear. And then I have a picture of myself with a little pram. You know what a pram is? It's not a stroller. It's a
scooter.
Pushing a doll in a baby carriage.
Oh, baby carriage.
Toy baby carriage. Yeah. So I know that there was that, but beyond that, I don't remember much about toys at all. Really, that's it. So.
Okay. Can you tell me about like a difficult time in your life?
I have to say I've been really lucky. One could perceive this as a difficult time. My father was an electrician, and he was disappointed in a lot of his life. The Depression, he wanted to start his own shop, and he couldn't because the Depression was in the way. Nobody could pay him, and he was too kind not to do the work. People were changing over from gaslighting to electricity, and they'd pay him at sixpence a week. And of course, he couldn't do that. So anyway, we ended up in London mostly because he had a serious heart attack. And in those days, they said to him, dreadful thing to say, you'll never work again. You know, that's how they treated somebody with a heart attack. It was just terrible. So one kind doctor did say, well, if I were you, I'd go south to London where it's warmer. And so that's basically how we ended up back in London. But fortuitously, my mother was able to take me to the church that I was christened in years earlier. And that became a pivotal part of my life, which, so you could say that this was difficult, but I don't really remember it as being difficult for me. It was very difficult for my family. And we were all poor, but everybody was poor. There was no money. And so I would get hand-me-down clothes from an aunt who would package up packages and send them to us. And my mother would say, I'd be throwing these out. This is like rags. So I didn't mind it. My sister, who was 6 years younger, felt that we were poor much more keenly than I did. You know, that was hard for her. Anyway, so that would be my description of difficult, but my life went on, school and so on at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
Well, at the time, depends where you are. My teenage self, I don't think I'd do anything different than I already did, because what happened was I developed through the people I met at church, which is interesting. I became in the youth group, who was a young pastor in a little old Victorian building, and they had a youth group. I went to youth conferences, and the people there mentored me and did all kinds of things. And so my advice to people would be, have some faith in yourself. These people helped me have faith in myself and in God. And they encouraged me to do, you know, to go for things. They saw potential in me that I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
And my father, because of his life, didn't want me to go to college, which was so interesting. And I said to him, why don't you want me to go to college? He said, in case you fail, was what he said, because that was his life experience.
Yeah.
So my friends, the minister and various other people, said, you are going to do this and we'll help you do it. And they wrote letters for me and so on. And of course, I got in. So my advice to people is don't give up on yourself and be kind. And if you want something, ask questions of people. Always ask questions and look at them and know that they you really want the answer. And I was able to overcome things by doing that with people. And invariably, they gave me what it was I was asking for, although I didn't have a lot of hope. But the thing is to be sincere and to really, if you want it, don't be shy about asking for it kindly, you know, and so on. So that was my experience there.
What are you proudest of professionally or personally in your life?
Well, that's hard to know because I have four children, five and under. They were two girls and two boys. And so I was very busy for a while. And when I came up after 5 years, I realized we're in Texas. We'd moved from England to Texas. My husband I met actually when I was in college. It turned out to be a good thing. Anyway, so my family, I now have nine grandchildren, and they're all, five of them are graduated from college this year.
Wow.
I'm writing checks to everybody. Well, actually, one from high school, but the other's from college. And one with his master's. So I'm very proud of that. But professionally speaking, I would have to call myself a professional volunteer with the Girl Scouts, because from early on, I saw this wonderful program that was open to people here, to girls here. And during the war, as I said, in London, there was nothing. Obviously, after the war, it was just nothing. Maybe in the suburbs, but not in London. And I was so excited to have my girls be part of this organization and to do the things and see the opportunities. So, of course, the next year they said, we need a leader for this troop, and we'll have to fold if we don't get a leader. So of course, they came to me, and I said, well, I have two little boys, I can't. They said, we'll pay your babysitting for a year. So I couldn't, you know, so they did for a year. And so that's how I got in. And I loved the girls, and we did all kinds of fun things that Brownies did and so on. And then I stuck with them. And then I joined with one of my friends from St. Peter's, actually. And she was, I was out of Mira Catalina, she was out of La Dera Linda. And when we got to junior high, then the girls here were a mixture of both of those schools that I showed the picture to you. Anyway, so we together said, we can do better than that. We'd look and see, and we saw the opportunities, and we encouraged the girls. What I love particularly, and I learned right along with them, because these were things to do that I never had a chance to do as a child. And I love the patrol system. I love the way it encourages leadership. I love the way that the shy girls were invited to speak. We encourage that greatly, give everybody a chance, and then you vote, and then you do it, as long as it's not dangerous and so on. So we did all kinds of things, and troop camping and so on and so on. And then we moved on later to cadets, obviously. And one of the most moving things I did, in speaking of leadership and example, was Silver Award, they had to do a special Scout's Own. And you know what a Scout's Own is. It's not a religious service, but it's right. A very meaningful service for Girl Scouts. And so the whole neighborhood was invited, all the Brownies, juniors, and it was set up at Mira Catalina in the cafeteria, excuse me, And the theme was friendship. Everybody came in, all the little girls sat down cross-legged. The cafeteria was filled. We had so many brownies and Girl Scouts. And they had to plan it all themselves. So they had music, and it was friendship. And they played Carole King's You've Got a Friend on the turntable. This was in the turntable. She still had turntables. And they lit a candle, and everybody, each one, said something about some aspect of friendship. A friend who died. I mean, was
right.
I looked around, my leader and co-leader and I looked at one another, and there were tears in our eyes, because all those little girls were like, I want to be like those girls. You know, the example was just wonderful. They did such a wonderful job. And that's what you want. You want people who exhibiting great leadership and compassion and all the rest of it. And so that was very meaningful to me. And then after we finished being girls leaders, we said, well, you know, we have all this. We should be trainers. We've got all this expertise. We can't just go away. So then we became trainers, and I gave song workshops and dance workshops and da-da-da-da, and then ended up on the ward, and then became president of the Los Angeles Girl Scouts for the period of time, for 8 years, with a three-year gap in the middle. Anyway, it's not that anymore. It's now the Greater Los Angeles Girl Scouts. But it was a wonderful experience, and I learned as I went along through the leadership that we experienced together with the girls. What I really especially liked was the fact that the professional people who were called field directors, I don't know if they still are, you know, who would come out to the neighborhoods, and they would identify people, and they'd say to me, we'd like you to direct a day camp, Boots and Saddles. I said, yeah, I don't know anything about horses. They said, don't worry, the stable will take care of the horses. You organize the day camp. So I did that for 2 years. But people identified, and this is what we can do as people, is mentor people and look out and encourage them to do more than they think they can do. And I think that's what I love about the Girl Scouts. And I especially hope that the Girl Scouts stay Girl Scouts and don't become part of a Boy Scout organization, because I think young women still need to feel sure about themselves without the conflict of sex in there. And the boys, frankly, they like running up the hill as opposed to the safety things that we always ensure. Anyway, so that's that for me. I found that that was a very important time for me to do that.
How has St. Peter's been a meaningful place for you?
Well, I came here 1972, I think, and I've been singing in the choir pretty much ever since, which is like something like 48 years, I think. But anyway, the other part of my life that's so important is music and worshiping through music, which I've done and sung in the choir, as I say, because I love church music and I love to worship that way, okay? And I've always been musical, and through my life, I've always joined choir. I've always belonged to choirs, little church choirs that were like eight people, big choirs. And when I was younger, I sang in the Royal Choral Society in London and in Dallas, in the Dallas Civic Chorus. So I've had a lot of experience, but I give my service to St. Peter's through that. How are we doing? Not too bad.
We have, I think.
Anyway, so the people I've met and the people there are sort of wonderful. But there's one hymn in here, speaking of worshiping through music, that we sang last Sunday. Do you remember? Were you here last?
Yes, I was here. Yes.
You were here? And it's a relatively recent hymn. And this is it. It's Here I Am, Lord.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
And because it's so meaningful, and I can hardly sing it without choking up.
Yeah.
Because I'll just read the one verse.
Okay.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell, oh dear, in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of light night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? And then the refrain is, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
That's really special. I really like that a lot.
Yeah. So, I think that's all.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Was there anything else you'd like to share?
I think that's all that I need to share, actually. But how about yourself? Is there something that you would like to ask me?
No, I don't think so.
Relative to Girl Scouts.
I think you got it all. Maybe, how have you seen change in the Girl Scouts?
Well, it's hard for me now because they've moved away. I used to be in touch with a lot of people, and now time has gone on and they moved away. So I don't know for sure. We went into paid leadership for a while, and I'm assuming they're doing that in the inner city. It was inner city, and they may still, actually, in order to get troops where people can't afford the time or the money or anything else to be leaders, then people in the district came in and we had some paid leadership. I don't know if they're still doing that or not.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Anyway, yeah. So I wish you all the luck with what you're doing, and I think it's wonderful that you're doing this. I'm not sure how helpful it is, but you know, when you've lived long enough, you've
learned a lot.
I don't know if you've learned it, but you've experienced a lot.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I've had a wonderful life thus far. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to take